Okay, you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This thing has been burning in me for the last few weeks, so I'm going to share it. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I get into the Word this morning, Father, I pray that your people have ears to hear. Father, I pray that I have the lips that will deliver with accuracy the Word. And Father, feel free to correct me right in the middle of a message if I would go into error. Father, or permit me to continue the course of what you've already laid in my heart. Father, this morning we're not here because of men. We're here because we are believers. We are in a believing church and we are ready to receive an understanding of your word. We give you honor and we give you credit for your word. Father, we ask that every soul be submitted to hearing the message today. And Father, may they get it. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Well, I'm just excited because so many mysteries are opening up in the Word of God. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. He is the greatest witness I know of. The greatest witness I know of. So, in 2 Peter and chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Now, I thought that was really interesting. He says, for those who have obtained. This word for obtain actually is a Greek word, received, like precious faith. Means faith of the same value. Faith of the same value. With us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, thank God you weren't part of that early church. Why am I saying that? Because they didn't have Bibles. Matter of fact, many of them didn't know how to read, but they had ears. And so back then, the writer of Romans, which is Paul, he did say a mouthful when he said, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, because many of them were ignorant, they didn't know how to read, but they could hear the Word of God. And thank God for the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost probably operated on a more of a higher level of recall back to their memory of what was said than today. Today we can grace ourselves a little bit. Not because we have computers, but because we all have a Bible. Oh, praise God for the perseverance of our Bible. Aren't you guys happy? I mean, you don't realize what an honor you have in your lap is the Word of God, the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll never forget before I gave my heart back to the Lord, I was driving down the street there where my mom lived and I knew it was the Lord. It's funny, when you're not even in fellowship, you hadn't even rededicated your life, and you're out there in the world, it's funny how even an unbeliever can know the voice of God. And God's voice spoke to me and says, you ought to know the Bible. What a statement. I look back now and I thank God for the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And so God moved on these men's hearts to put together what we call B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Praise God. And so we've got it in our laps. We're not all void. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to recall somebody preaching someplace in a cave to make us remember something. We can just open our Bibles and recall it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, one thing about this precious faith that he mentions here, it literally is a faith that develops in the heart because we have personally heard it from the Father. You can't intellectually obtain God. God has to reveal himself to you.
Right.
You can study all you want, but if you study to try and discover God, you're going to miss God.
Amen.
You have to sit still and let God reveal himself to you. Praise God. He knows how to do that. Man don't really know how to find God through their intellect or studying. Now he goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Boy, those verses are loaded. So I'm going to try to do as much justice to them as I can for what little time I've got. But notice he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This word knowledge here is a very interesting word, especially in this particular passage that we're going to be covering. Because the first word there for knowledge is called epinosis. It literally means a higher form of knowledge. It means knowledge that has been revealed to you. It's not anything that you can obtain on your own. It is something that God is able to reveal to you. And notice, grace and peace is multiplied to us in a revealed knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior. It comes through revelation knowledge. That's what makes a carnal believer from a spiritual believer. A carnal believer is one who has not possessed exact knowledge, where a spiritual believer is one who obtained special enlightenment or revelation. Praise God. And you'll find a lot of carnal believers do not understand grace nor what peace is all about. They're in turmoil. And he goes on to say, as his divine power hath given to us all things. And notice hath. This is a very interesting tense in this verse. It literally means the perfect tense. When he says he hath given, it literally means that as a result of something that had taken place in the past, which is in Christ Jesus, that thing that took place in the past is presently moving to your present life. And as your present life, this action past will continue future tense. Glory to God. The Greek is unique, not like the English. It has a perfect tense. As a result of something happening in Christ Jesus, past tense, that work will carry through to your present life and also for your future life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a continuous thing that God promises these things. And notice what he says. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. That means natural life and godliness, a devotedness to God. So, right away, we've indicted every one of us. Because God has told us we have what is necessary for life and godliness. We don't lack anything. As a believer. Now how many of you, and I want to see your hands. I don't want you to be somebody that doesn't know. But tell me, how many of you want to make sure that you answer your calling?
Amen.
Okay, some of you didn't raise your hands, but you nodded your head. That's okay. And how many want to make sure that you understand your election? Can I see your hands? Some of you didn't respond at all. This was not a trick question. This is a question you could answer with your own natural mind. And if you didn't answer to any of it, evidently you're not sure. But I am sure that I want to answer my call.
Amen.
And I am sure that I want what I've been elected for, finish my full course. I want to finish my full course. How many of you want to finish your full course? Well, you know, Peter gives us insight how to do that. He gives us insight how to finish our call and our course. The word election is the Greek word choice. See, grace comes by you choosing. It doesn't come by you being pre-elected, like some supposedly teach us. It means that God pre-elected that man come to him by their choice in grace.
Yeah.
Not pre-selected and picked. Or you'll have a hard time with Wednesday night, last Wednesday night's message. Praise the Lord. Now notice what he says, through the knowledge, there again it's epinosis, the full knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. This word virtue means a superior morality, a superior more excellence. So he has given us the ability to see to it that number one, we have a full understanding of him. And number two, we enter into superior or moral excellence that he's called us for. A lot of believers fall short of this moral excellence because they don't get to know him. You have to come to know him. You know about him, but you have to come to know him. You have to come to know his heart. Now, through the full knowledge of him who called us to glory, this is the word doxa. It literally means the manifestation of Christ. The manifestation of Christ in that moral excellence. In that moral excellence. By which are given, been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, let's look at this verse real quick. Like, before we do get into this verse, I want us to go down to verse 10 and look at it just for a minute. In verse 10 it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, or actually in the Greek it says fail. You'll never fail. Now, what people don't understand is that in verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is talking about that when you have finished your course here, you finish your call and your election for what you've been called for or to choose into, it says that when you enter into heaven itself, that eternal kingdom, it says you'll enter in there in an abundance. Glory to God. Now, one thing that he has done is he had made very clear between verse 10 and verse 4, he made very clear how we can make our calling in our election very sure that we have an abundant entrance. I like what Paul said. He said, I've finished my course. Many believers have not been able to finish their course. They have died before their time. They'd entered into glory well before they were even intended to. They never finished their course. Myriads and myriads of believers are entering into heaven that way. God shared with me, he says, I have more coming into heaven as paupers than really what they were intended to. Now hold your place here, and I want us, because we're coming right back, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hold your place here, and I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Glory to God. If you pay attention to me today, you'll not only be challenged, but it'll give you a whole different outlook on your walk with God. You know where I want to go with this church? I want this church to go into revival.
Amen.
I see a way now we can do it. But we got to get rid of the cancer in the body of Christ, and that is a losing a desire for the things of God.
Yep.
Now notice this. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, notice this, a dispensation. In the Greek is a stewardship. A stewardship of the gospel is still committed unto me. And one thing that dawned on me when I read this verse is that even if I don't finish my course, if I enter into heaven without the abundance, God is still going to hold me accountable to what I've been called for.
Right.
And you also. You also. You might not have been called into the fivefold ministry, but I'll tell you what, you've been called into being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us is called to that. That's what our election is all about. Are you guys getting something? Now, the first pastor I ever had, Don Rogney, he made a statement I never forgot. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. But only what's done for Christ, that's all that will last. When I enter into heaven, naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave. It means I won't be able to take my toys with me. But I will be able to take what God has renewed in my heart with me. And I want to enter in with an abundance on my life and not fall short of what God intended for me. Now, how many of you know that in God's foreknowledge, He knows everything? We're going to get into this tonight about speaking in tongues. How the Holy Spirit, His job is to intercede on your behalf that you would know the plan and purpose that God has for your life. It all hinges on your ability to pray in tongues. So, what about God's foreknowledge? If He knows all things from the beginning to the end, then He must know something about your life from the beginning to the end. Can I say amen? Or should I say oh me? The problem is, even though God sees the beginning and end of your life, God has to determine how to intersect your walk with Him until you're in His presence. But what if He can't? What if He can't do something to intersect as you're walking with Him and you take the wrong direction? What happens when you take that wrong direction and you've lost the inner witness to take the right direction?
Right.
It means that you will probably end up going home before your time or your course is finished. You have to keep the inner witness of God alive in your heart. But thank God, the Word of God, dear Peter, went and kissed us with the Word of God to show us what we need to do so we know that we can stay on course. And that's what we're going to get into right now. So go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. By which, having or have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be sharers of, this better translation would be, of a divine nature, having escaped. In the Greek, it's escaping from. Escaping from the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, when I read it through my Pentecostal mind, it's kind of like an old condemnation sermon, you know. Lust. But when I begin to see this verse as what it was saying, really woke me up to something. Notice what he's saying here. That we are sharers of a divine nature that literally keeps us from what? Corruption. It gives us the ability to escape from that which is corruptible. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. What does he mean by that which is corruptible? That which literally brings depravity, a deterioration, a change of an existing state. So he's saying that these exceeding and great and precious promises he has given to me so that I would be a sharer of God's divine nature that I have received. Are you following me? to help assist me, to help assist me to escape corruption that is in the world.
Right.
Now, the word that is in the world through lust is a very interesting statement. It means desires which are fixed on sensual objectives, that are set on sensual objectives. It literally means that the promises of God, the Word of God, that divine nature is so built into us, it gives us the ability to not be affected by a dying world, glory to God, and its desires. Well, what is some of the wrong desires of this world? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with profit. There's nothing wrong with honor. There's nothing wrong with securities. Providing that the desires of this world are controlled by the Spirit. You know what? Thank God I was delivered 16 years ago from cancer. Operating in my spirit means I lost a desire for the things of God, the Word of God, because I thought I attained to it all. Thank God I got delivered of that garbage can. My flesh was more in control rather than my spirit. I don't allow myself to go there no more. I'm constantly on fire for God. I'm constantly on fire for the Word. I don't know how to explain it to people, but I'm consumed by the Word of God. Whether you ever go there or not, I don't know. But I know one thing, I'm there. And I'm going as deep as I can get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now notice, in verse 5 through verse 10, he tells us very clearly what we're responsible for, not God. He has done everything so that we can accomplish what he tells us that we've got to do. Amen? And here he begins. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Wow. Notice he says, giving all diligence. That's a word that has been lost in our Christian society. It literally means, this word diligent, literally means a zeal, an urge. It means to speed something up, to hasten it, to press, to endeavor, a readiness, giving attention, hardworking, not negligent. I'm having a hard time performing my words because of my teeth. I'm working at it. Diligence. You know what that does? It means you show up when the Holy Ghost shows up. It means you're ready to be there when God's there. Hallelujah. Each and every time. You're there. Why? Because you're going to be a hard worker. You're going to go after God. You're going to have in your heart an unsettledness because you want to hasten things so quickly. You want to bring it to where you want to be, just like you covet something. It means you press, you endeavor to get there. That leaves out popcorn believers. Notice what he says. This is what you've got to do. This is what Peter says. You've got to give the diligence. God isn't going to do it. You've got to give it. Diligence to what? To your faith by adding, first of all, virtue. The word virtue means moral excellence. Godly things in action. Superior of being pleasing to God. It means a throwing of oneself beyond what God expects of you. It means someone who wants to be so morally like Christ that he goes for it.
to add to his faith. There's an integrity that gets in his heart. And he wants that moral excellence operating in him at all costs. I'll tell you what, believers that try to defend themselves against wrong are believers who do not know what it means to begin their walk with God. Because people do not make your destiny, your calling, and your election sure. God at work in your heart makes your calling and election sure, not people. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. That inner witness in your heart. Glory to God. Follow that, not men. Men can disappoint you. Men can let you down. But God will always give you direction. Then he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. This is a word here that is not used with too much light. But when I read it in light of the text, this is what this word for knowledge means. It means a deeper understanding, a drive, a craving for more, for a more thorough participation in acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. It means someone who desires to crave a deeper understanding and an exact understanding, as Zahiti says, an exact understanding of what God is saying. You know, I went to get I wanted a leather-bound interlinear. And I went to get one. She handed me an interlinear that just puts the King James Bible all in Greek. It's not the conservative Greek. And I said, well, I can't use this one. This is by this certain man, and he was a liberal. And he believes in this type of Greek language, and so called it the TR. And it upset me. And she says, well, why are you so upset? And I says, well, I want something that's accurate. And she says, well, what's wrong with that? And I says, well, I want the conservative interlinear. And she says, well, what matter does it make? I says, it makes all the difference in the world. And she goes, oh, well, I'm sorry. Then I said, oh, I'm sorry. And then I said, now, how do I charge this? I can't charge it to the church. You'll know I'm the pastor. I stepped out of my fruits. So thank God I left the book there. But you see that attitude. What difference does it make? I don't want to enter into heaven. What difference did it make? Do you know what it means something to God that you fulfill your course? And you fulfill it in the fullness of your time. The problem is we do too many things that causes us to get off course. So this word for knowledge here means a deeper understanding, a drive for a more thorough participation in inquiring of the knowledge on the part of the learner. One who is craving the Word of God. Then he says, from this type of knowledge to self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. This word for self-control literally means to attain to a place to where you say no to things that want to take you out of the patterns that destroys God's ability to preserve you from wrong desires and keeps everything in its right perspective and priorities. I've seen too many Christians taken out because they want to make money for the kingdom of God, and they went at the expense of their own spirituality. You can't be that dumb. You cannot be that dumb. You need to be more committed to the Word of God, more committed to your church, more committed to the duties that you're responsible before here, in spite of what goes on out there. Because all they are is just additives for you to control them, not them to control you. Self-control is very important. Because without self-control, you can't even escape the lust that is the desires of this world. They'll take you out rather than you taking them out. Now, he's telling you how you're going to make your election and calling sure. Are you guys getting something here this morning? Notice this. to perseverance. Self-control to perseverance. Oh, this is a very interesting word. It says faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Without perseverance being developed into you, even the promises of God ain't going to do you any good. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Well, what is the exceedingly great and precious? They are the ones that bring forth the divine nature in you to fulfill it to its full end. Because the word here for perseverance is the word endurance or patience. The ability to remain until your purpose in God comes to pass complete, full. Glory to God. Complete and full. You got to do these things. You got to do these things. You got to stay on top of your flesh. Your flesh has no desire for the kingdom of God. Why? It don't know God, neither indeed can be. All that knows God is your soul and spirit. Now notice what he goes on to say. Perseverance into perseverance, godliness. This word godliness literally means putting God first in all things. A remaining. I like what Zahiti says. A remaining in your first love. A remaining in your first love. A surrendering in devotedness to God. You surrender your whole life to exist in devotedness to your Heavenly Father. Glory to God. 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 A devotedness to God. One that says, God, you're the supreme eminence over everything I think, say, and do. Well, now I like this one. And from this to godliness to brotherly kindness. What in the world is brotherly kindness? It means learning to live with each other in His ability. It literally means preferring one another, to put somebody else first over yourself. It means that your whole purpose in life is not just for self, but to be the example for others that follow you. You slack concerning the kingdom of God, those that get around you will slack concerning the kingdom of God. You get around those who are on fire for the kingdom of God, you'll get on fire for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Preferring one another. Preferring one another. That is what brotherly kindness is. So you see, when you get a hold of yourself, get into self-control, and you get into perseverance, you remain in that first love, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have people on your mind. You're going to be able to mesh with people in spite of them. Most of us run into conflict with people to end something. God wants you to run into conflict with people to what? To fix things so you can go on. Most Christians are not persevering because someone put them out. Someone took them out. If the witness of men be true, let the witness of God be more true. For if these things are yours, that would have been sufficient and abound. This word abound is the Greek word covet. It means if these things are yours, if they're in your responsibility, and you covet them, you covet them, you make them your own. God isn't going to make you do any one of these things. God is not going to zap you one day and get you out of your complacency. He ain't going to do it. I got so dried up one day in my office, I cried out to the Lord. And He never answered me for 1 week. And then when I stood and I said, I'm going to look at this as my next step. I'll drop off of an 800-foot cliff and kill myself. Or I will follow right on track with You, God. But I got to hear from You today. How many of you have ever been that desperate? I was that desperate. Why? I got a revelation. I was dry as cracker juice when it come to the kingdom of God. And I'm your pastor. And you know what I made? A decision. I'm not going to pastor another day without first of all being where I belong with God. I can't afford that for what God has called me to do. I had to deal with my flesh. And I stood there and I demanded an answer. And that's when God said, hello. A lot of you are out of fellowship with God. You think you're in fellowship with God, but the desire for the Word is not there in you. You're not diligent. You're not careful about what you're going to do for the kingdom of God. You're slack. And you think you're in fellowship with Him, and God wants to get a hold of your heart and get you to a state of repentance and get you back on course. Because you will not have an abundant entrance when you enter into heaven. God wants you over things. Now notice this. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. Two things will begin to happen. You will neither be barren. This is the Greek word useless. How many of you felt that your life has not been useful? You felt kind of useless even to the kingdom of God. Some of you were useful to the kingdom of God. You backed off and now you're useless. Why? What happened? Lost your zeal. Might cut in on your time, your precious time. But notice what he says here. He says you'll never feel useless. You'll never feel like your life has no influence. Because your life can have influence. Your life can have influence right where you're at. Your life can have influence right where you're at. There are a lot of Christians that have no influence. And he says, not only that, you will not be useless nor unfruitful. And this word unfruitful here means that you won't be fruitless. It means you'll bear fruit. Are you ready? In the knowledge of God. You'll bear fruit in the knowledge of God. The word knowledge there is epinosis, full knowledge. You know why a lot of Christians are stupid after they've been in church for 30-some years? You know why they're dumb? They're stupid? Because they don't covet the things that are necessary to draw close to their Heavenly Father and their first love they never remained in. And they've been fruitless in understanding what the will of God is in their life. He says here, if these things are covetous in you, you will not be useless and you will understand the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many believers do not know their Lord. Now notice what he goes on to say. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. When you lack these things, guess what happens? Your judgment is not good. You have no discernment. And you can't see things that are to come. You can't even discern what's going to happen to you. You have no perception. You'll take up in relationships with people you have no business being with. I heard someone just married a Muslim that was a believer. What business have you got with the Muslim? Well, we're to love all faiths. No, we're not. These other faiths other than the Lord Jesus Christ are demonic. We're to stay true to our course. We're not to be proselyted so we commit adultery, intercourse with the wrong doctrine and the wrong people and the wrong association. Why would you marry a Muslim when they think that Americans are inferior? Well, what would they think of a Christian? Dogs, not even saved. It's horrible. You have no business being with an unbeliever if you're a believer. Right. Why? Because you make yourself a slave to that which is inferior. Right. What kind of moral excellence are you walking in when you run around with the unsaved and you have more fellowship with the unsaved than you do the saved? Something wrong here. And it says you will never stumble. Actually, you'll never fail. So that when you enter in, you'll what? You'll have an entrance that will be supplied to you abundantly. Abundantly. I made a decision in my heart a few weeks ago. I says, everything that I've been redeemed from, I'll never enter into heaven because I did not have that exceeding and precious promise to carry me to my full course. I don't want to enter into heaven and say, the reason I'm here is because, God, you know my heart. I died from some terminal disease. And yet I have to give an account to the Word that says He carried it so I could finish my course. Did not Peter say He has given you everything to finish it with? We just choose not to believe it. I hope I stepped on your toes today. Did I step on your toes? Good. Makes me feel like I've accomplished something today. Did you guys get what I was saying today? Now, I didn't introduce a whole lot of new doctrine like I did Wednesday night, but I'll tell you what, I introduced enough for you to get a hold of. If you got to get a hold of yourself, get a hold of yourself. Sit down with your flesh and say, flesh, you and I got to have a talk. You're not going to rule my life anymore. I'm going to be just like Paul. I make my body a slave. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The reason that we are where we're at is because that's what we've chose to be. Where we're at. I broke some tremendous mystery tonight. I want to share with you about tongues and praying in tongues and how much it has so benefited me to see things so much clearer. But people, today, this day, I got news for you. This day, the Holy Ghost is going to be more magnified. He's going to be more magnified because there are believers that are seeking the Lord, that are praying in tongues. They're going to bring out the mysteries of the Word of God. And you're going to find more and more believers rededicate their heart and life to God. And devote. If you really think God is coming real soon, then why do you act like you've got forever to do what you're doing that is not of God? Glory. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Word of God and the purpose for which it stands. Father, may it challenge every one of us. May it challenge every one of us. May every carnal believer in this building put a check in their heart and life and get it right to walk with you. And Father, if there be anybody here that has never known you like we know you, we want to be able to lead them into the presence of the kingdom of God. We want to see them get saved. Come into that place where their life has purpose. For every day they live it outside of Jesus, they're throwing it away. But the day they kneel and give their heart to you, Jesus, give their heart to the Father through you, their life begins for eternity. They don't throw their natural life away, but then it begins to have purpose and meaning. Father, I pray that the message I preached this morning get into the hearts of even the believers that are cold spiritually, and it wakes them up to what is more valuable than silver and gold, Father. Father, we want to go to revival. We don't want to discard ourselves to be like other churches, just to be churched. I don't want that. Father, bring people that want revival. Bring people to us because we can show them how to go to that place of revival. Father, I thank you for the fire that burns in my heart.
I want everybody to have that fire burning in their hearts. Would you all stand up? Father, this morning, I pray that there should be anybody here that has never received Jesus, never said the sinner's prayer, and would like to come into the kingdom of God. We want to give them that opportunity. It is so important, Father, for the uncertainties of the life out there. It is more dangerous now than it has ever been. Father, you can't even go to the grocery store without possibly losing your life. So, Father, I ask that if there be anybody here that knows they've never said the sinner's prayer, never have come into the kingdom of God. Father, I want their life to begin this morning to have purpose so that you can put a call on them. And that their choice, their choosing, would bring forth that divine nature for which they inherit. Yes. The glory of Christ in us. That is your hope for this dying world. If we don't have His glory, then we don't have no hope for anybody. And so this morning, if you've never done that, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And if you're a believer here and you say, yes, Pastor, I have been slack at my commitment with my Savior. I've let down. I have not watched over the things He has given me. I haven't been doing the things that you preached this morning. I'm so backslidden out of fellowship, Father, I want to get back in. I want to be where I belong. I want to obey the conscience that you have given me. It's a new birth. I don't want to violate that God conscience because I don't want to violate the conscience of men. So if you're here today and you want to respond, we want to pray with you. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you might have an entrance to heaven. But you need to walk your walk out more thoroughly. And tongues is a means to do that. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we want to minister that to you. So if you're here this morning and you fit one of them descriptions, would you step out? And I don't want you to feel ashamed. I want you to be bold. Step out and come forward. And we'll pray with you. Don't hesitate. Step out and come forward. Yes. Yes. Come right here, sweetheart. Anybody else would like to join this wonderful lady? Anybody else? Please, we'll wait. Don't hesitate. I know God spoke to many of you. You need to respond. Don't let pride stop you. Pride goes just before fall. Yes, right here. Anyone else? Anyone else would like to do honor with these two precious ones? Anyone else? I still feel that God is dealing with somebody. Please, don't stop. Respond. Please. You know, dealing with the kingdom of God is a serious matter. Okay. Father, I thank you for these two precious ones that have come forward. And we're about ready, Father, to give them over into the hands of the personal workers, our altar ministers. Father, may you have the wisdom and the insight to answer their very need or the reason they're here. And Father, may they walk away with their life more full than it ever has been in Jesus' name. Amen.